20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. It is Monday. It is the opening of NFL free agency. We can legally tamper at 11 a.m. Central Time. And in order to celebrate and go over the latest Packers news, we have got the one and only Perry Goldstein, who you can find over on Packs, which he said, of course, Perry _ Goldstein. And Justice Mosqueda at JUMOSQ, acmepackingcompany.com. I am laughing and crying because this is my seventh attempt at the intro. I've called her Perry Goldstein. I've said Perry is from Acme Packing Company. I've screwed this up a billion times, but I got through that one, damn it. And we are ready to excitedly talk about Packers free agency. Friends, how the heck are you guys doing?
I'm so proud of you right now.
I am so proud of myself.
I'm glad you finally got to my name.
Yes.
It was always Perry was the holdup for you. That was the barrier you needed to cross. So
it's tough. Okay.
Life is hard. There's too much Zaire Franklin tape in my head. Too many Sean Ryan contract numbers that I'm ready to discuss, and I can't get through a basic introduction without breaking down. So that means that things are busy and times are good, and that we've got tons to talk about. At least that's my excuse for it. But I am excited to talk to both of you. I am excited that it is the opening of free agency. We did have some news, a few different pieces of information that came across on Sunday. So let's just jump in right away and talk through everything. The first thing I want to talk about, of course, is Sean Ryan is back. 3 years, $33 million, up to season. You never know what these contracts could get up to. Up to $39 million for Sean Ryan, $11 million signing bonus. Justice, I know you and I have talked about it. I know it's funny because I think you posted in your article. I think Ken Ingles tweeted it. I tweeted it. We all said John Runyon Jr. was sort of the comp, 3 years, $30 million that we were looking at. He got 3 years, 33. It's right in that range. It's a couple of years after the Runyon deal. So we go inflation on this one a little bit as well. But this feels right. And as soon as we saw, that Connor McGovern was re-signing with the Bills and Biotish was off the market, there were really three names left. It was Sean Ryan, Cade Mays, and Linderbaum. Linderbaum is going to probably double this contract. And that left probably Cade Mays and Sean Ryan. It is not surprising to me that they wanted to stay in house and that they ultimately got this deal done. Perry, I'll get your thoughts first.
Oh, I like it. I thought it was very solid. I'm happy he's back. I thought it's a nice story. I mean, I know we're not here for the story. We're here for the good football on the field. But I like that I kind of halfway through the season, he was like, I don't know if I'm going to be here next year, like very realistically to the media. And then after Elton went down, he slotted in and really kind of found a home at center and was pretty solid and has good chemistry with Jordan. And that's super important, obviously, for this position and really anchored the offensive line. And we're going to dive more into, the 2026 offensive line in this episode. But I'm very happy for him. And I think it's like a really just like nice, sweet, solid deal. Not an overpay, not an underpay. Which you don't see that often in free agency. But they did right by someone who they drafted and developed. And he's now going to be the Packers starting center.
The first third year extension or second contract since? Anyone know?
How long?
The 3 year or third round?
Third round. First third round extension since who? Do you know? I know it. Anyone have a guess?
We know you know it. That's why you're bringing it up. It would have
been a Ted pick, right? So yeah, your guess is as good as mine. I don't know.
Morgan Burnett was the last third round pick that got
what year was that? Green Bay.
Morgan Burnett was drafted in he was the
guessing 14.
Yeah, I was thinking like 2012. Like it's been at least a decade.
No, he was 2010. 2010 is when he was drafted. Third round, 71st overall in 2010.
Oh, I was thinking the contract, like 2012.
Oh, yeah, sure. The contract in 2014, 2015 would have been the extension. Yeah, so he was the last third round pick that got extended. Yeah, it's been a hot second. So, but good news, obviously, for Sean Ryan. Justice, your thoughts on the deal?
I think the important context here, when you see I think people get the weird sticker shock about the 11 per. I mean, you cross compare it with the John Runyon Jr. contract, makes a lot of sense. We're talking 2 years later and you get, $1 million more, NFL in terms of like the inflation on the salary cap. it's way surpassing that right now. I think the other thing too, I don't know if people are paying attention to markets that much, which again, the markets set free agency standards and all that. People are scooping up these centers left and right because there's more teams that need centers than there are centers. We've talked about this before. Andy kind of went over the guys who are available at this point. It's Linderbaum, who's going to cast a ton of money. And I think there's probably like 10 teams right now that think tomorrow Linderbaum is going to sign with May, and four of them are going to be deeply disappointed. The other guy is Cade Mays, who is kind of in the same position as Ryan. I don't know if people realize that. I think they just see him ranked ahead of Ryan on free agency boards. And they just say like, oh, this guy's been a consistent starter throughout his rookie career. No, that's not true. He was cut in 2024. You could have grabbed him off a practice squad in October of 2024. He didn't start this year as a starter. He was an injury replacement, like in the same situation as Ryan. I think he's going to make a ton of money. Good for him. The only other guy is really Posich, and he's a little bit on the older side. But there's really like seven teams in the center market right now, and there's three centers. And then you look at the draft, and there's one guy who's projected to be a top 80 pick in the draft at the center position, and it's Connor Liu, who has a torn ACL. So I think there's going to be a real anxiety in the center market as soon as Linderbaum ends up signing that contract. I think it was smart that teams, whether it was McGovern and like the Bills doing the deal or Biotish getting a raise after he was released, because yep, teams are preemptively realizing like the center market today is going to be way different than what the center market looks like on March 11th. Yeah. I think the Packers played this one right. I've been kind of banging the table like, hey, you should probably just bring back Ryan and all that stuff. This whole offseason, it's going to be interesting to see what some of these other teams do, because those three retirements that happened in the last week at the center position really created a hole, and really like the teams that were paying attention realized this and acknowledged that anxiety. And even like the Bears, I mean, I don't think Garrett Bradbury is a great player. He's been below average his entire career, but I understand why the Bears were like, dude, we got to have someone. We got to have someone here. Yep. Yeah.
Who, Dolman, and then Ryan Kelly, who was the third that retired?
The other guy was
I'm trying to think. It doesn't matter if you don't know it off the top of your head either. I was just trying to remember who the third center who retired was, but I couldn't remember it off the top of my head. Either way, it's also why Detroit went out and got Juice Scruggs as well, even though he's like kind of like a depth piece. Is like, again, people just scrounging for centers at this point in time.
Yeah, there's not enough. And Scruggs was backup. And Detroit is like, I guess we're going to make him a starter, because what other options do we have? Right there, we've talked about a little bit about the draft and stuff. I kind of broke it down on Tyler's channel, Best Available, when we went through the offensive linemen. But like, everyone is like a 2027 starter. No one's really ready to start in 2026. So,
yeah, I think the other thing too, I was just talking about this with a friend. Was it Bozeman? Was the other one the other center who retired?
That might have been it.
There's always like this period right now of like new sticker shock. Because, you know, the deals go up every year, where you just have to like recalibrate, because you start seeing deals and you're like, this guy's getting 20 mil per. I mean, Trent McDuffie just got 31 million right before we started, recording. So there's always like this new level of sticker shock that you get every year, and that just becomes the new norm. And it just takes a moment to sort of recognize. I mean, Aaron Banks is a great example at 4 years, 77, almost a year ago, whether, you know, obviously not a great deal in hindsight. We'll talk more about him in just a moment. But, you have to kind of do a double take, and then you kind of get used to it a little bit over time.
And those things don't happen evenly, right? Andy and I have talked about the like 25 million per year increases on the salary cap that are becoming normal now, which is not normal in the past. And those don't spread out equally over positions, right? Different positions get different jumps every single year. Like last year, it was big for the tackle market because of the Dan Moore contract, and then the linebacker market because of Nick Bolton and Jermaine Sherwood. And this year it's probably going to be center. The thing is, I think people anticipated that it was going to be center, and then they proactively decided like, hey, we better go grab a center before free agency actually starts. The other thing I think is interesting too is if you look at like Ryan and you compare him at like if he was like in the guard market, which like someone feasibly could have thought that he was a guard, right? In the same way, like John Runyon Jr. Yep. was paid to be a guard, right? Like, he's not top 20 at the guard position. And there's like very few guys that are making below what he makes and, you know, a rookie contract, right? So he basically got like what amounts to like a bare minimum guard deal, but he's being considered a center. So like it gets all wonky. But again, those numbers are going to even out in future years, because I do think, like, I think Linderbaum is going to get like $25 million per.
Yep.
Do we think that? I mean, I think at this point it's safe to say Elgton Jenkins is not going to be a Packer this coming season, right? We all agree with that.
I don't think it's happening, but the only way I could see it happening is if they're worried about Tom enough.
Because my question, I mean, my question, just prefacing, is like, really, because if we think Elton's walking, are folks, are other teams signing him as a center, or are they signing him as a guard? Are they signing him as a tackle? Because like he can also really impact the market.
I think at this point, the anxiety at the center position, I think he would be considered a center.
But he wasn't very good.
He wasn't that good at
I mean, he's versatile enough that I think any team would look at him on the market if when he gets released and be like, we want him regardless, we'll figure out somewhere to put him.
I mean, Elton's going to have some say too. Like if Elton's like, no, I'm playing guard, I don't want to go back to center. Like he can sort of avoid the center market if he wants, but it would not be smart of him to do so, I don't think.
It's just interesting because his whole deal with the Packers was he didn't want to re-sign the deal, right? Because he didn't want to sign at center money. And now all of a sudden the center market is like the place to be. I just find it very interesting.
The team is weird because the situation that they're in right now, when they're borrowing money to get to zero. They're not borrowing money to spend immediately. Like they've made these signings and then they'll convert the Xavier McKinney deal, or they'll do the re-signing with Sean Ryan, and then they'll convert, Aaron Banks today, right? They're positioning themselves where they have the option to drag out this Elgton Jenkins and Rashawn Gary thing to be Jair Watch 2.0 and 3.0. And Jair wasn't cut until the day before mandatory minicamp last year, which was the first time any of the risk was put on the Packers, right? Because you take on the risk as soon as they step on the practice field. So this could take a long time. I don't know if, like, we're talking about Elgton hitting the open market, he can make his claims and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't know how long the Packers are willing to hold onto that line, right? But they're positioning themselves where if they want to, they can.
It's so funny how like things work in NFL terms, because Jair Alexander last year, as you mentioned, he was released on June 9th, which right now feels like forever. Can you imagine Rashawn Gary and Elgton Jenkins still being on the roster in June 9th? But also it's like, it's literally 3 months from now. It's like literally 3 months to the day from now. It's not in the scheme of things. It's not that long.
It's also 3 months before the season starts.
Yes, exactly. But it feels like freaking forever in like the scheme of an NFL offseason cycle. So it's just weird. I do wonder, and I want to get both of your thoughts on this as well. Just going back to Jenkins for a moment, Justice, you mentioned the center market is depleted. There's multiple teams that need a center. The draft's not great. This does seem to me like it at least opens up a little bit more of a possibility of an Elgton Jenkins trade, maybe more so than at least I originally thought going into the offseason. I don't think it's that absurd anymore. Maybe Green Bay has to eat a couple million to get of the salary to get something in return, but they might be willing to do so just to get a little bit extra draft capital.
It'll be interesting to see if they do it. And the other thing too is like they're borrowing this money, right? So like some fans might see that as like, why are you borrowing from the future to hold on to these guys that we know you don't want to keep, right? Won't that hurt you in the future? Well, it doesn't matter because they don't have anything guaranteed left on their deal. So if you release them, any money that you save from that release, you'll be able to roll over to next season. So they're really taking like a multi-year like cash spending look at the Packers roster and really not treating it as like a single season right now, which I know for fans is kind of hard to imagine. You guys have to deal with all this crap already and your heads are spinning on what the Packers salary cap number is this very second. Just know they have a long runway to be able to steal money for. And they're basically the backstop of that, right, is that if they move off of Gary and Jenkins, they're going to get that money back. And, yep. it, you know, it'll be rolled over into 2027. So there's not really a risk. They're being jerks if you're from the perspective of Gary and Jenkins for sure. But I think Gouda is just looking at this and it's like business is business, man. If you guys don't want to take the restructures and take less money, then we're going to hold on to you and see if an offer comes. And if not, this thing can go until mandatory minicamp.
Not only that, but you need what, 12-ish million of, you know, slush fund money in the right, you know, during the season to kind of keep for practice.
Yeah, because that's the other thing too, right? So like the off season, the only thing that counts is the top 51 guys on your roster. As soon as the cutdown deadline happens, it's the full 53, anyone on your injured reserve, your practice squad, anyone who you're getting rid of on injury settlements. But they're fine. They can make up that money and more. Yeah. Just off of the Gary and Jenkins releases.
That's what I mean is like, yeah, yes, you're holding on to them now, but as long as you do it before the season, like, especially if it, even just one of them, if you wanted to do like Gary and you like held on to him until right before the season, you're like, oh, all right, we couldn't find a trade. You release him right before the season. Gary covers your entire slush fund that you need for the rest of the 2026 season. So like you can sort of operate with that being the case, and you're not really stealing from any free agency money that you want to spend right now. Not to mention, they still have other levers and pulleys that they can utilize with other contracts to still open up more money. They could, you know, they could add more, two more void years to Sean Ryan's contract to push that thing out if they want. Like there's a variety of different things that they can do still to open up money while keeping both of those guys on the roster if they want to so do so.
Yeah, for sure. They haven't touched the Jordan deal. They haven't touched the Micah deal.
I want to go back to one other thing that you said, or I think both of you kind of said earlier as well, is that we know how much Green Bay values versatility, and having Sean Ryan in hand does give you both center and guard versatility. So it doesn't, you know, make it so that if Green Bay does happen upon a center that they really like in the draft, that they could draft that player, potentially start them at center, and then you have some versatility to move Sean Ryan around still. I expect Sean Ryan to be the starting center, but if all of a sudden you do find somebody that's better at that position, he does have the ability to kick the guard. If you needed to, if Zach Tom is hurt going into the season or whatever, we know that Belton can potentially kick out to tackle. Ryan could be guard, and then you have another center again if you find it that way. So it does give you some potential versatility and options too, because he can play multiple spots.
Yeah.
Let's talk before we get to the rest of the offensive line. Let's talk Aaron Banks really quick. They did restructure Aaron Banks as well to free up salary cap space. This is one that caught me a little bit by surprise. Not that I knew they could do it. We've talked about that before, but this is one that I thought they'd maybe want to keep the optionality a little bit more open. It doesn't change the calculus a ton, but it does feel like this is sort of a vote of confidence in Aaron Banks that he's not just going to be here in 2026, but probably in 2027 and maybe even in 2028. And I thought maybe they'd want to keep that lever open a little bit more to pull if they wanted to get off of him easier in 2027. But they seem, you know, sort of pot committed to Aaron Banks at this point in time. We'll be right back. So I remember the very first time that drinking hit me differently. I was drinking responsibly the night before, and we had young kids at the time, and I woke up with my son crying in bed and just didn't feel right. It was a very harsh reminder that after the age of 30, even responsibly drinking alcohol will make you feel less than 100% the next day. The more I looked into it, the more I realized that even a few alcoholic drinks will crush your sleep and your next day readiness. That's why I'm obsessed with Cheers Restore. Cheers Restore is a dual action after alcohol aid. Its ingredients support both your brain and your liver after consuming alcohol. Cheers was originally invented by a student at Princeton and was designed for how alcohol actually affects your body, not just dehydration. And you don't have to just take my word for it. Cheers has appeared on Shark Tank and is sold in over 30,000 stores, and they've already sold over 50 million doses. And Cheers is backed by doctors, PhDs, and over 1,000 verified clinicians who share it with their patients. Cheers promise is simple. All you do is take 3 capsules after your last drink or before bed, and you'll feel about 50% better the next day or your money back. That's why it's same night out, way better morning with Cheers. For a limited time, our listeners are getting 20% off their entire order by using code PACKADAY at cheershealth.com. Just head to cheershealth.com and use code PACKADAY for 20% off. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that PACKADAY sent you.
Yeah, if you look at the dead cap and cap hits, like, it's, so it's not happening this year, right? His dead cap is three times his cap hit now. Yep. And his cap hit in 27 is lower than his dead cap. Like, we're talking about Aaron Banks locked into a roster spot through until 2028 at this point. Yep. I think if there's any takeaway from these moves kind of happening back to back, it's the front office being like, you have the players on the offensive line. Coaches, you got to get them to gel.
They double down pretty hard.
Yeah. I mean, so let's say more, and this is a big leap right now, right? But let's say Morgan's fifth year option is picked up. The entire offensive line is locked up for the next 2 years, 3 years.
Yep.
Interesting because, like, I wonder if they're just like, you know, Banks was in and out of the lineup. We didn't really get to see him. We're still banking, no pun intended, on him being good next season. But that's the 2028 that catches me off guard, because then they don't have an out if, like, it wasn't the injury and he really just isn't that good in 2026. Then they can't get out of it in 2027. I don't know. I don't. Or they just are like, we'll eat the money, but that doesn't feel very Russ Ball to me.
Yeah. I wouldn't have made this deal, and I want to go on record saying I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have signed.
It's also not, it's not the year where they need the money right now. Like, they didn't need to do it.
And there were other levers to pull, right? Like, you could, like, you know, you want to keep Jordan around, you know, you want to keep Micah around. You could have pulled those levers instead. That's my hang up on this one. That I'm like, I don't know if you should have committed the extra year, because I think Banks was coming back. I know there were people who wrote, and you know, that he was going to be gone after this year. I don't think that's happening. Well, it didn't happen. But yeah, I wouldn't have committed the extra year of basically dead cap where you couldn't have created cap space by moving off of him. I would have pulled a different lever. I don't know. I mean, you could have restructured. You could have created cap space with, like, a Christian extension. You could have created cap space with, like, a Devontae Wyatt extension. There's a bunch of things that you could have done. I wouldn't have gone down this route, but
this would have been, like, the last lever I would have pulled. I would have gone Love first. I would have went Micah first. I would have even probably went Josh Jacobs, restructuring his first. I would have looked at Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson. I would have looked at all of those, and then, like, if, like, all right, we've exhausted all of those and we still want to spend, all right, then Aaron Banks is sort of the last one.
Yeah.
But they clearly, again, like I think you said, Perry, like, just doubling down, like, they feel like this is the group. And as you said as well, Justice, like, they're saying, hey, we've got the guys. And just to kind of go over that, it certainly seems right now, Jordan Morgan, left tackle, Aaron Banks, left guard, Sean Ryan, center, Anthony Belton, right guard, Zach Tom, right tackle, probably top couple backups as of now, Jacob Monk, Travis Glover. We'll see what John Williams, if he can bring anything to the table in his second year after basically an entire redshirt first season, injured the entire year. We'll see if they do anything with Kennard. That's still an interesting one. We haven't heard if they're going to tender him or not. He'd be the only RFA that I think has an opportunity to get tendered. If not, they could still work out something with him, obviously, but that's kind of where the offensive line stands right now. Perry, I'll start with you. How are you just feeling about it in general?
Plus a draft pick, I'm assuming.
For sure.
Good. Sorry, that didn't sound confident. I thought they were starting to settle in towards the end of the season, and I think really start to come together. And I think there is, like, something to cohesiveness. Like, these guys really played together, like, extended snaps. And so the Zach Tom injury, you mentioned it, like, makes me real nervous. Just like, what's that going to look like at the start of the season? Cause he really feels like, again, like we talk about Sean Ryan at center, but, like, Zach Tom at this point is, like, he is the anchor of that line, and things start to kind of, they do not look the same without him there. So obviously we have a lot of months to go to hear about what he looks like for the start of the season, but I feel much, 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 much more confident that everything else will, like, fall into place if he's, like, healthy and ready to go. Obviously, I don't know if you guys have heard anything about that. I'm sure they haven't said anything, but I'm excited to see Jordan Morgan at left tackle, like, really get that starting spot. I think Andy knows, like, I was, like, just a notoriously, like, never Rashid Walker fan. And they drafted Jordan Morgan like for this. So I thought when he was in there, when he got those reps, he was starting to look pretty good. So again, I'm just like a fan of cohesiveness and like consistency on the offensive line. And I think that's kind of what they're going with. They're just, I mean, we said it already, like they doubled down. And I can't imagine, I mean, unless they take someone early, but like they don't have first round picks. So they're like not going to take anyone that they think is going to be a starter in the draft. Like this is the line. So this is it. I don't know. I'm like lukewarm and I'm not really sure why. Like I'd say I'm lukewarm, Luke excited. And until I hear that Zach Tom is like fully healthy, 100% going to be playing every snap, then it will get turned up to hotter.
Here's a little bit of good news, right? So like a good comparison for the Zach Tom injury, Josh Simmons, who was taken in the first round last year, he ended up tearing his patellar tendon in October of 2024, early October. Mm-hmm. And then he was back on the field already in week one. I don't know when he started practicing. Yeah. But he should be back around by the start of the season, hopefully.
Yeah. No, I'm sure he will be, but like it was such a back and forth this past season of like, will he be back? And then, oh, he's back, but now he has to get taken out. And oh, we pushed it too far. And I mean, you got a whole off season, right? So it's so, so different.
He's going to have the surgery, right? That's the
Exactly.
They were like injecting him with like the PRC injections or whatever into his knee and like just hoping that it would take. And
I wish they had just done the surgery midseason, to be honest with you. And like, then we would know like what, no, you disagree.
Yeah. No, I just,
oh, think, okay. You made a face that I was like,
no. I just think the way teams think is like, if he has the surgery, he's done for sure. And they're just 100%. Always leaving that door open.
But he was also done, like, whatever. We don't have to go down that road. But, like, now, for
sure. Yeah.
Now it's just, like, you know, you have the surgery, and now it's just a waiting game to see, like, what he looks like in camp. And, you know, there's that level of uncertainty and anxiety.
I did ask Scooty this in his press conference of, like, what's the expectation for Zach Tom? And he said flat out, it's going to be a while before he's ready, but the expectation is that he's good to go for the regular season.
Oh, like, so, of course, Scoot's going to say that.
Injury standpoint, no, because they usually they'll punt on that stuff if they say we're just going to let it. It's a pretty easy response to say, you know, we're just taking it a day at a time, or we're going to, you know, we don't want to put any time frame on it. We're just letting him recover. Like, it's a pretty easy response if you don't want to like answer and say a direct timeline. The fact that he's like, yeah, he's going to be good to go for the regular season, that gives me a level of confidence. It's
all right. So I'm a little warmer than lukewarm.
You are playing Russian roulette to an extent of like, you have Micah Parsons, Devontae Wyatt, Zach Tom, and who am I missing? Tucker Kraft, all coming off significant injuries. And if just one of them has any sort of bizarro setback, it's like a massive deal. It's not like they'll be able to, like, no, any of those guys having a setback where it costs them the first like 6, 8, 10 weeks of the season or something is a massive deal. So you like, they have to go 4 for 4 on these injury recoveries and get them ready, and not only like ready to play, but as close to 100% of their former selves as they were, because even if they play and they're at 75%, that's a significant downgrade overall. So that, yes, it is overarching a issue to monitor with all of the guys that were coming off of injury in 2025.
Yeah. What do you guys, how do you guys feel?
Justice?
About the offensive line?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just as a whole.
I think these were the right moves. I think the team is prioritizing being able to move people off the ball. They were a lot better at that in the ground game when Ryan was at center and Belton was at right guard than when it was Elton at center and Morgan at right guard. That's just how I see it. I know there's a lot of Packers fans that like want this team to be like a 10 personnel team, like split 4 wide receivers out there, have a pass catcher out of the backfield and just rip the ball. They're never going to be that. I don't think that's how Matt wants to play football. I think they ran outside zone because they had to, because Aaron Jones was under contract and he was a productive back for them, and it didn't make sense to just move off of him for nothing. But I think they've pivoted their entire offensive line strategy and what they do with their running backs and everything. They want to run the ball inside. And when you look at a guy like Ryan, who's pushing, he's got to be over 320. There's no centers that are going to be drafted that high, like in the first five rounds of this draft, that are that big, right?
ESPN lists him at 321. So you're spot on.
So yeah, I mean, that's kind of the market that they're in right now. They want to be huge and they want to move guys off the ball and they want to hand it off and they want to run inside. And these
but
are
they have to be successful at that in order
they
to
do. Score. And that's why I was like the triangulated Luke Butkus. And I'm like, you need to do a better job. And by the moves that Gudas made, he's basically saying the same thing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, which is Justice and I have talked about it. Offensive line coach is the one that I'm still most surprised about, I think, this offseason, that they didn't kind of go in a different direction. I posted today some reasons for optimism on the O-line. First of all, I've liked Morgan a lot better at tackle than I've ever liked him at guard. He looked good at tackle. Even Goody said in the press conference that he pretty much did enough to earn the starting tackle job coming out of camp last year. Just didn't work out that way with Walker being there and with him needed at guard or whatever, but he looks good there in preseason. And when he got to right tackle in the regular season, he looked good there too. So having a full off season, hopefully of just focusing on left tackle and actually getting to play tackle, I think is going to do Jordan Morgan wonders. Banks, when healthy, was better at the second half of last year. Wasn't like demonstratively so, but he was definitely better in the second half, solid guard in the second half. When he was injured in the first half, it was not going well. And you could definitely tell a difference. If you could get a full year of how he played in the second half, you'd feel much better about Aaron Banks. Sean Ryan was thrown in at center. Yes, he had spent some time in camp in the last couple of years moonlighting at that position, but never got a full-time repertoire of center snaps. And now you would think this entire offseason, he's going to spend his entire time at center. That should help him. Belton spent the entire offseason at left tackle, right tackle. You training camp, mini camp, OTAs, etc. Never moved inside when we saw it, at least. And then ended up playing guard, and that's going to probably be his long-term position now. So should get an entire offseason of focusing in on guard a little bit more. And of course, Zach Tom was out for so much of last year and just never quite looked himself, even early in the year when he was banged up with some injuries as well. If he can get back to playing the way that we'd expect from him, I do think there's still reasons to be optimistic about this offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think all three of those guys that you mentioned, Morgan, Ryan, and then Belton, those guys were way more out of position than Elton was. And everyone just keeps bringing in, like, Elton moved from guard to center, and that's why he's bad. And I'm like, I'm not sure I buy that. But, like, the other ones are way worse demerits on the coaching staff, I think, than moving from Elton from guard to center. These guys are in the right spots now. They're locked into these deals for multiple years, and they have to grow together. Great. That's a good sign to me.
Two points. From earlier, they all do have 3 years at least left under their contract. If you pick up Morgan's fifth-year option.
Morgan fifth.
Yes. Yeah. So it's all 3 years if they want it to. So theoretically, if things go well, they could keep this group of five together for the next 3 years and have some level of cohesiveness and consistency.
Great. Yep.
They have to play well first, but let's take one step at a time. Let's pivot. This was not the only moves that took place over the weekend. Obviously, the Packers made a fairly significant trade on Saturday as well. Zaire Franklin coming over from Indianapolis. Colby Wooden goes to the Colts. Justice, I'll start with you this time. Your thoughts on the Zaire Franklin-Colby Wooden deal?
I think the type of linebacker that we got makes a lot of sense, right? We're talking about a plugger Mike to complement Edgerrin Cooper being the more athletic Will, who can kind of like move around and blitz and do all this stuff. Zaire Franklin is really just like fine ball, hit ball, right? Type of guy. I fully expected, like, of course you would like the guy to be better in pass coverage and stuff like that if that were an option. But I think in terms of like what the primary motivation for the Packers was going to be in this defense, it was pair Cooper with a plugger, right? So I'm not surprised it's this player. I think it's going to be really interesting once these linebackers start flying off the board in free agency. I think Quay thinks that he's going to get close to the $15 million that we talked about. That was kind of like the floor that like Bolton and Sherwood set last year. From my understanding, the Packers went with double-digit million-dollar offers to him like on four different occasions, and him and his camp turned it down every single time. So he has a number in mind. And he thinks he can get it. I know Devin Lloyd thinks he's going to get 20. And then after Devin Lloyd, Quay, truth be told, is probably the next Mike off of the board. Because if you, there's a lot of will, and we don't do a good enough job of explaining this, but there's a lot of wills in this linebacker class. And then you have like Leo Chenal, who I know a lot of Packers fans like him, and they want him to be a starting Mike. From my understanding, the league is still going to treat him as a 4-3 Sam. So like he's going to be a 60% of snaps type of player, and then like your number one backup linebacker, basically, on top of that, if a starter goes down, he's not going to be in that like $15 million per mold from what I understand. But like after Walker, it's like Devin Bush, N'Kobe Dean, like both of those guys are true wills. You're like, we're talking about two different positions, really. So there is going to be a market for Quay. I know Packers fans think he's the worst player in the NFL, but like he's going to get paid and you're going to get a fourth round pick for it. So yeah, be happy about that. The thing is, so the year one cash flow, Zaire's going to make about half of what Quay's APY is.
Yep.
And then at the same time, the Packers have no guarantees on this Franklin deal. So it's really like a team option, and they don't have to decide on whether he's even going to make the team and they're even going to pay him that money until cutdowns, right? So you can give Isaiah McDuffie an opportunity to win that mic role, right? And then if he wins that mic role, you don't need Zaire Franklin. Or if Zaire Franklin wins the mic role, and then, okay, Isaiah McDuffie has more trade value to a team that wants to make him a 4-3 Sam outside linebacker, you could trade him for a pick too. So yep. I think they've just given themselves options, and they give themselves cheap options. And that's what kind of Packers fans should take away from this. Franklin can't carry anything vertically. The good news about this system, you don't have to do it. The reason you play those two high safeties is if you're getting trips to one side and the most inside slot receiver is running vertically, the mic doesn't take that guy vertical in the system. It's the backside safety who comes over and takes it. So I understand like Colts fans weren't happy with his fit in that system, and he was kind of made a scapegoat and all that stuff. I think in this system, he's going to fit a lot better, especially if they just keep him in the spot that I think he's going to play, which is basically just the thumper Mike linebacker who keeps Edgerrin Cooper clean.
Just really quick, Perry, before I get your thoughts. I'm assuming he's going to be what do you do with the green dot? Because if he's more of like a base only sort of guy, I mean, maybe he does some nickel too, but like we saw Gannon play a lot of dime. Is I don't think you want him as your dime linebacker.
Well, yeah, the dime and penny, right? Like that's the big question is what do you do in dime and penny? Are you going to have Cooper watch from the sideline and have him on the field? Like that's I'd green dot McKinney. I think that's the smartest way to do it. But yeah, I mean, we're going to get an early answer on that because we'll know in camp.
Good point. Yeah, I would do McKinney as well. The other thing, just really quick, sorry, Perry, before I get to you again, my apologies. There's a lot of people that I see say like, well, why aren't you just making Edgerrin Cooper the mic? And it feels like a very simple answer of just like, he's not fit to do that, but
not his role.
Exactly. I'll let you, you know, maybe define why it's not just quite as easy as in Madden of changing from, you know, weak side linebacker to mic linebacker in the player management tool.
Me or Perry?
Either one. I mean,
definitely Justice.
Yeah, so they're going to jam up the front with big, heavy bodies. But when they're in nickel, he's going to have to be the guy who fits the A-gap. And he's basically just running downhill and hitting a guard full speed. I mean, it's as simple as that. Cooper is not that big of a player. He's more of a run and chase guy and a blitzer and all this stuff. And part of this is how you can do it and keep Cooper clean. And that guy doesn't have to be super expensive. The big thing is, like, when you look at the rest of the mics who are available after the Quay tier, right? It's Devin Lloyd. It's going to be Quay, whether you like it or not, in terms of because he's young and because he's athletic. And then after that, it's going to be the older guys like DeMario Davis, who's – I think he's closer to 40 than he is 45.
He's 37.
Yeah, Bobby Wagner is up there in age too. I think he's probably over 35. And then you have a guy like Caden Ellis, who – he's getting like older.
31. He's like 31.
He's getting older, and he never had the legs, right? Which is the big scary, because at least DeMario and Bobby had had legs at one point in their careers. So I can understand why the Packers are like, this guy, we could get 2 years out of this guy, and we're just going to run him at guards when we're in nickel, and then everything's going to be easy in the run game for him because we're going to jam up the front. We're going to have three defensive tackles playing up in front of him, and he's not going to have to cover anything deep because of the system that we're going to play. So they just need that guy in nickel to jam the A gap, right? And I think that's a big benefit. Again, like if you're going to do the dime stuff and you're going to do the penny stuff when there's only one linebacker on the field, if you green dot the safety, which probably would be McKinney at this point, I mean, maybe it could be Evan Williams, who knows? If you green dot that guy, then you could take him off the field and play Cooper there. So yeah, that's something that we're going to find out.
I would love that. I want to get to the Colby Wooden side of this as well, but Perry, your thoughts on Franklin?
Yeah, I mean, my thoughts on the trade are more on the DL depth scares me, but I mean, I feel like we've gone over a lot of this, but I mean, very classic Packers move in free agency. Cheap, can get out of it easily, low risk, potentially high reward. It's like the most classic Packers. The trade surprised me, like giving away a player in a position where we don't have a lot of depth was the part that surprised me the most. But again, they maybe just think that Colby Wooden doesn't fit in Gannon's system and they are going to go get someone else here, or they're going to go search for it in the draft. I mean, I think Justice like hit on a lot of good information, but I mean, my biggest takeaway is like, I don't know much about Zaire Franklin, but what you want out of another linebacker is someone that's going to allow Edgerrin Cooper to shine, right? And what is Edgerrin Cooper best at, and allow him to go make plays. And I just felt like Quay was too inconsistent and too, quite frankly, untrustworthy on in key moments to do that. And hopefully, it sounds like, you know, you both think that Zaire Franklin can kind of be that guy to just like clean up, plug the holes, let Edge Cooper shine. And like, that's the goal, right? Is like, when you look at these like really star tandems, linebackers around the league, it's like, that's what they allow each other to do. Now, not everyone is going to have like two stars at linebacker. That's just like, you hit the jackpot if you get those, you know, Fred Warner, Dre Greenlaw, like couple of years, like that's not realistic. I think that's what a lot of Packers fans like want. They're like, get a star next to Edgerrin Cooper, or else it's like a horrible, no, you have your star. You just need someone who like plays well enough next to him to do that. So, yeah, that's my thought about it. It's more actually the loss of Colby Wooden. I'm like, who the hell, is going to be on that D line now, especially with like Devontae Wyatt injury, all the injury, Rashawn Gary probably leaving, like the front seven, like, ooh, buddy. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't, I mean, Andy, you watched all the tape on him, so you can be the tape guy, but like the goal, right, is to allow Edgerrin Cooper to like be the star that he is and to be cleanup, to be, you know, not the inconsistencies that we saw with Quay. So we'll see how it goes, but I like the move if it's, you know, it costs the Packers nothing if he's not good.
Yeah, I mean, it costs Wooden. Just your mileage may vary on how.
Sure, but also,
yeah. I'm more concerned maybe about Franklin. I didn't love the tape that I saw. Again, I watched three games. It's not a be all end all. But I do think he does fit with Coop really well. And to Justice's point from earlier and what you were saying to Perry, you know, the goal is, and why you don't move Edgerrin Cooper to Mike is because you want Cooper free flowing. You want him to just be able to run and just not even think and just be able to go and play instinctive football. And to me, that's what this is going to allow him to do. And I do think, again, in this defense, what we're expecting it to be, at least, I do think he can fit that role. And if he can get back the way he was playing in 2024, I think you feel pretty good about this move overall. Justice, your thoughts on losing Colby Wooden and how important this defensive line makeover is now going to be for this team?
It was important coming into the offseason, right? So, I mean, it's not like they made a new hole. It's just they made a hole big enough where it's like you cannot avoid it anymore, which
yeah,
I kind of like a little bit. We've talked about this before 2027, the way the Packers cap and contract scheduling kind of works out. They should be spending in 2027, which means any of these expiring contracts that you don't want to extend, you should move off of them now and get something in return, right? We've brought up Wooden as an example. Brooks is another one. The two receivers, if you're not going to bring them back, because I think they're going to bring back or they're going to extend Christian. But if you're not confident enough to extend Jaden Reed or Devontae Wyatt, you're better off trading them.
Wicks, you mean, right?
Wicks, sorry.
Initials.
If you're not willing to extend those guys, then you're going to get nothing for them next offseason because you're going to be a spender and you're going to offset the comp picks. So you might as well trade them now. So this is what we kind of talked about when we were like, this is an offseason to get your house in order for that 27-28 push. The other thing, too, is we have so many guys under contract at defensive tackle, not necessarily like starting caliber guys, but so many like – everyone is coming back. It's Brooks, it's Brinson, it's Wyatt, it's Stackhouse. It would have been Wooden, right? If you draft a guy and you sign a guy in free agency, Wooden could have been on the chopping block at the cutdown.
Regardless. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So yeah. I understand giving yourself a chance. Like both teams, in my opinion, gave themselves a gamble, right? Not necessarily like nothing is guaranteed in these deals. The Colts got a guy who could potentially make their roster and is cheap. And the Packers got a guy who could potentially start at Mike linebacker for relatively cheap, about half price of what these guys are going to go for on the open market. So I kind of get it both ways. Obviously, they're going to need to add both a D end and a nose tackle moving forward. I've heard that the Packers are actively talking to guys who like may get cut, which again, that furthers my thought that like they're going to protect these comp picks and they're going to go after cap casualties, right? But those guys
have been on the defense. Someone like that or Dalvin Tomlinson.
That's a big one.
Dalvin Tomlinson.
Hargrave is interesting because he played under tackle. He played three tech for Gannon in Philadelphia, but last year he was a nose tackle for Minnesota. So I don't know if they view him as a nose or if they view him as a D end in this scheme, but it could be one or the other. Well, but he makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, that's what I like. If they could sign him, and I'll be like, good, they got a starter. I don't know what
position. They'll figure something out. Yeah.
But I could totally see him doing that and then like signing like a Lopez or Tonga.
That's Maggie's favorite. That's what, if you're asking what Maggie hopes to see this week, it's Roy Lopez.
I'm with her. So I could see him signing both of those guys, right? And then just offsetting the Enagbare pick, and then that's it. Before the draft, like I could totally see him kind of going down that route. So I think they're going to want to plug holes before the draft and then just take a gamble and say like, hey, competition is going to figure out who the better player is.
Has DL depth surpassed the biggest need for you over corner?
Probably. I mean, just you right now, you cannot go into the season with the defensive line the way that it is. Yeah. Like yeah. you just can't.
Stackhouse is probably starting nose right now. No, Brinson is probably starting to end
with Brooks or Wyatt.
That's how I feel too.
Yeah. To me, I've always been a center and nose tackle were our biggest needs, and now it's kind of expanded to D end at this point now too. But yeah, I think both of them are squeakier wheels than corner at this point.
The other thing too, your current 2027 interior defensive lineman. Warren Brinson and Nasir Stackhouse. That's it. That's nice. That's your current 2027 interior defensive lineman. So this is a position that they are going to have to invest in pretty significantly, not just right now, but again, draft is going to be something I'm sure they will love to try to attack at this position because they need to have bodies for not just this year, but for next year as well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure can we
make sure to talk about this wide receiver room?
Yes, we'll definitely get there. Just really quick before we get there, I just want to go over with the Zaire change or the him coming in. Clearly, this is the end of Quay Walker in Green Bay for the time being. You know, you never know when a reunion could happen down the road. It's clearly, he's done. And they did bring back Nick Neiman as well as an off-ball linebacker, special teams ace, whatever you want to view him as, but he does have linebacker next to his name. I know you kind of maybe talked about this in an opposite direction. I think linebacker right now, and you've talked about it as like maybe they only need four, but I think if they want this to sort of just be their linebacker room as is, you sort of have Edgerrin Cooper.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think they're done. Yeah. Cause Franklin and then Hopper and McDuffie are your backups. Neiman's your special teams guy. And then you have Jamin Johnson probably as your practice squad guy. Like they need like a couple bodies.
Unless they trade McDuffie, I think they're done.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think they're done this postseason.
Of course, they could always, best player available, the draft, if they get to round four and linebackers.
And that leads to a McDuffie trade, honestly.
Very well could be. Yeah, very well could be. But yeah, right now they've done their linebacker stuff.
Yep. So we can knock that one off the board. They had to do this immediately after Tyler Brook told me to watch linebackers. I've wasted so much time watching linebackers this week. And then we get two guys and just flush it down the toilet.
That's why you ignore Tyler Brook at all costs. You never, I'm just kidding. Tyler's awesome, of course. We'll be right back. All right, let's transition, Perry, to where you wanted to go here. We mentioned Qui-Gon, Romeo Doubs seems like a foregone conclusion. There was some reporting on this as well that, just the negotiations did not get to where Romeo wanted it to be. San Francisco continues to come up as a team of interest. There's going to be others as well. And then we had the reports as well from Jeremy Fowler that said he had a big report of like different, just a variety of different pre-free agency notes. And he said there have been calls for Jaden Reed that the Packers have seemingly rebuffed up until this point. But there have been also trade talks about Dontayvion Wicks, which to your point from earlier, Justice, you're not going to extend both of those guys for sure. Maybe even both of them. And if you're not going to, then you probably have those conversations of, hey, what can we get in return now? And do we want to maybe take from a position of strength and either get a draft pick or maybe from a, can you swap a Wicks for a corner, defensive tackle, something like that, that would maybe give you a, cover for a position of weakness.
Yeah. I mean, Wicks has felt like trade bait for a bit. He's kind of like the ideal candidate. So it doesn't surprise me at all. Doubs too. I mean, you went into this season and the mini extension for Christian Watson felt like a little bit writing on the wall. Like, hey, we like you enough that even despite your injury, we're going to give you like a little bit of like extra room and get healthy. And then like, we're going to see how this goes because we don't want you to hit the open market. And then he obviously like exploded and it just became very clear. Even though Doubs had like, one of his like classic, quietly solid seasons again, like you could easily make, if they had made the case, the Packers front office, that they wanted to keep both of them, I don't think anyone would have argued with them necessarily on that. But it also, you understand the argument for why Doubs would also be gone too. I mean, from his perspective, if the Packers weren't going to pay him what he wanted, he for sure knows that he has a market out there for a wide receiver like him, for a team that needs one. But I do feel like if Doubs is gone and Wicks is gone, you kind of all of a sudden get to a place where you're like, like, at least in my perspective, you guys tell me if you disagree, but I'm like, that's starting to get like maybe a little questionable in that room. Like, not that I don't
how feel... dare you forget about Bo Melton? How dare you forget about Bo Melton?
Respectfully, I never want to see Bo Melton on the field in an offensive snap like ever again, like literally ever again. And like I'm glad they don't want to trade Jaden Reed, like still very high in him. And we're very excited about his last game, Matthew Golden, but like it was not like the most exciting rookie season. Like, you're very much hoping, right, year two, he takes that leap. But like right now you're going in with Christian Watson and Jaden Reed and an unproven Matthew Golden. And then you've got like Savion Williams and Bo and questions. So, right. So like all of a sudden to me, I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Like, is wide receiver all of a sudden a need? Maybe that's an overreaction. So definitely would want your, like, you pressure test me on this.
I have a take on it, but Justice, I'll let you go first.
Yeah, no, tell me if I'm overreacting, but I'm like, okay. Like I'm not questioning the Packers and their decision to do any of the things that they're doing with their wide receivers by any means. Like, Romeo Doubs testing the market makes perfect sense. Like, Dontayvion Wicks being trade bait makes perfect sense. Like, none of these I question. I just then look at the room without them and I'm like, might need another body or two in there for camp.
I think the Doubs thing, I think, is really interesting in the context of injuries, right? The fact that Christian came into the year with the torn ACL, and then Reed went down what, like week two?
Yep.
Yeah, with the collarbone.
Yeah, against the Commanders.
What?
Yeah.
I think if the receiver room would have been healthy going into the year, they probably would have shipped off Dobbs in the offseason. I think it just would have made sense from like a scheduling standpoint. The thing that, I mean, you brought it up, Savion, right? Like, so if, let's say Packers ship away Wicks, you have Golden under contract for 3 years plus the 5th-year option. You're about to extend Christian Watson too. Did I already say Reed extension? If you extend Reed. No.
Not yet.
Well, so if you extend Reed, right, the decision is basically we spend a top 100 pick on a guy who's never going to start for us on his rookie deal, right? So exactly. So, like, I think the question is just, like, okay, what do we think this is going to look like moving forward? Where who's going to start all this stuff? The good thing is, like, if you get rid of Reed – I would have to think you'd at least get a late second back for him.
Or like a legitimate starting corner, or like something
Sure. You plug a hole somewhere, yep. Right? So it gives you another at bat. If you go into the draft and your needs are kind of, at least on the first line of the starting lineup, are kind of solidified, I could see him trading Reed and then drafting a guy like in the second or third. At receiver too. So, like, I think that's an interesting thing that could happen.
But, like, what does that get you though?
3 extra years on a contract, right?
For someone unproven though. So you're just saying you're low enough on Jaden Reed, you don't think he's worth keeping around.
No, what I'm saying is if you want to extend him, right? But you have to make that decision like probably before the draft. Yeah, exactly. Like all these decisions that you have to make about contract here, guys, like, I think you got to make them now. And I think a lot of people, I'm not saying you, Perry, I just deal with this a lot at APC, where people in the comment section, just, they love incentives and they love contract years. And I'm like, guys, the easiest way to win in this league is make quick decisions on those contract year guys.
I guess my thing, like, though, is like what you're doing though in that situation is you know exactly what you have in someone. Right. Mm-hmm. And you make a good point of like what that room looks like and how much playing time is Jaden Reed going to get and how much does that contract cost you? Right. There's all those variables. But like simplifying it in my head, I'm like, you know what you have in someone, or you're going the unproven route. I mean, that's the definition of the NFL. But like in a window where you're supposedly going like win now, and that's not the Packers way, but you're going win now. You're like, right? Are you going extend this guy? Or because I don't know that Jaden Reed would be that expensive right now.
I think he would be. I mean, he's going to get 20 mil per in a contract.
I think so.
All right.
Perry, you hit on the big thing. Is the window now? None of the actions that the Packers have made have said that the window is right. They could borrow a ton of money. They could burn the comp picks. They haven't done those things.
Yeah.
They're positioning themselves.
I don't know why they don't think it's now, but sure.
They have, if you look at their contract scheduling, they really truly, honest to God, as a nerd who has looked into this, their window is a lot better in 27 and 28. But that's a tough pill to swallow for Packers fans when you're coming off of those 5 losses after all the Micah hype and all this stuff. But the way this team is moving, they're positioning themselves to do that holdout thing with Elton and Gary.
Yeah.
And I could really see him going down that route. I really could. And people are going to go ape crap when it happens.
I don't know. Like, how can you not think that, like, 26 isn't also – I mean, you're looking at things.
Don't be competitive.
Contract, right, and money.
Yes.
And I'm looking at them from, like, current talent.
Yeah.
And you can certainly make the argument, like, I don't know, I'm now like doubling down on Jaden Reed. Like, I'm saying like Jaden Reed's talent is going to like get them to the Super Bowl. I'm just like, that's, I guess, the perspective that I'm coming
from. Let me play both sides of this for a second. Cause Perry, for the most part, I am with you 100% and kind of on both, but at wide receiver in general, with Christian Watson's injury history, with Matthew Golden even getting hurt last year. Savion Williams got hurt a little bit last year. Reed got hurt all of last year. Wicks has been, had some injury issues as well. Like, it's not been the healthiest wide receiver room. You trade one of those guys away, and you are now down to Watson, Golden, Savion, and either Wicks or Golden.
Not into it.
And you get one injury, like Watson goes down again for a 6-week period of time, and all of a sudden you're looking at a wide receiver room that's Wicks, Savion Williams, and Matthew Golden as your primary three wide receivers. And
not
I have
into concerns. That, Andy.
So I'm the same thing. So I tend to say keep Wicks, keep Golden, or sorry, keep Wicks, keep Reed, and let this play out. And if you need to get comp picks, you know, it just depends what their free agent strategy is in 2027. But if you need to figure that out later, so be it. What I will say from the other side of things, and I look at this a little bit more from a Wicks point of view, but it really plays to both. So as an NFL general manager, kind of as what Justice is saying here, you're not solely focused on, we all love 2026. 2026 is our baby right now, right? Like, that's all we care about. We have tunnel vision on 2026. You are in, as a GM,
yeah,
you're in constant asset management of what is, how can I get the most out of something? And so if you can get, let's say, a mid, like pick 45, pick 50, pick 52, whatever you want to say that pick is for Jaden Reed, you have to say, is 1 year of Jaden Reed better than a second round pick on a very, you know, healthy, you know, 4-year contract that's super cheap, that if I can hit on that player and get a really good player, that has more value than 1 year of Jaden Reed. And I, if I plan on signing free agents next year, unrestricted free agents, that's going to cancel out any comp pick that I'm going to get for Jaden Reed anyway, I have to take a real look and say, is that second round pick more valuable to me than 1 year of Jaden Reed if I'm not going to re-sign him? And if they've made that decision already, that's a true asset management thing that they have to figure out. I would keep the wide receivers. I want the depth. I want the talent. Wicks is the more interesting one to me, where it's like,
that's what I was going to say. I was like, I think the conversation is more Wicks than Reed.
I totally agree.
I think Reed can get paid. The problem is if you trade out Reed, who's going to be your slot? Like, are you just going to play Matthew Golden in the slot next year?
And Tim Watson.
Right? I think it's more likely that you send off Wicks, you give Golden the starting role as an outside receiver, and keep playing Reed as the slot.
I think so too.
To your point, Andy, I mean, you're hedging as a GM. Like, you're constantly hedging, right? Future versus now versus what talent you have versus comp. And like, you cannot forget, right, that the Packers don't have any first round picks this year or next year. So Goot is probably, to your point, Andy, always thinking about like, how do I gain more capital where it's most important, which is in the draft and in the top 50.
Even just in general, the best GMs are constantly in a state of asset, you know, aggregation. They're constantly looking to gain the most out of an asset. Like, you want every deal that you make, you want to be the winner of, where, yeah, we shipped out a really good player, but we know we were only going to get that player for 1 year. And now you've accumulated more assets by getting maybe a second round pick in a whatever in return for it.
And but, it's smart of him. And it's why the Packers have maintained their ability to be competitive for so long.
Yes.
But I think you can also, I understand the argument of, it's like, so sick of hearing, well, their window is actually 27 and 28 now. It's like, well, we were just saying it was 25 and 26. So why is it now 27 and 20? Like, when is it going to be now? Like, when is it going to finally be? This isn't actually how I feel, but I can understand why some people do feel that way.
Just going back to Wicks really quick, I do think the Wicks one makes more sense in the fact that, like, let's say you could get, I don't think you get a fourth, but if you get a fifth, you spent a fifth on him originally, right? You got 3 good years out of him. You get a fifth back and you spend a fifth on a wide receiver. And now you bring that player in and get that player ready. He can be the number 4 or 5 wide receiver this year. And now you get him ready for next year. And again, you get 4 years out of that player. I do think that one is a little bit more enticing. And certainly if you get anything in like a third or fourth round pick in return for him, that is much more enticing to me. But I would lean more towards keeping those assets. And you always have the trade deadline too, to sort of refigure things out. If all of a sudden they are completely healthy at wide receiver and Savion Williams takes a jump and Matthew Golden's playing great, and you're like, damn, we do actually have the resources to send somebody off here. I think you can maybe look at it more at that time. For now, I would lend myself to keeping those two. But sorry, what were you going to say, Justice?
I do not remember. I think it was about the timing of things. The timing of things is interesting because you want your deals clustered together, basically, of the top assets that you want moving. Part of what reset it was Gary and Jenkins not working out. Banks, I don't think, is a factor, but the Hobbs deal too. And I think those three deals coming together at the same time, plus the four major injuries, right? Wyatt, Tucker, and maybe the team spends. Maybe the team borrows a ton of money and they blow out free agency. They haven't made those moves yet, though, and other teams have. So I don't think that they're going to be in big spend, borrow money, burn the boats. It's all about 2026. That's not really what they've done this year. But I do recognize fans are going to be pissed about it.
Every this week's going to be very interesting to see exactly how they play this out. And I think it is very intriguing to see if they do kind of say, yeah, we're going to be more aggressive in 2027. Also, again, it's just not a great free agency class either. They might just view it that way and say, hey, we don't feel like this is the year that we can go and, you know, spend what we want to spend on. That's something that's not there. It doesn't exist. It's a figment of our imagination. If we think we can go hunting and get something really important in this free agency class, it's just not good enough. So maybe they do have to wait another year for that big signing.
I mean, four of the top 30 highest paid free agents in this class are probably going to be Packers, right? Guys that they already disagree with the price point
that they're moving on from. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think they could swing big on a corner, and that's kind of it. I think it's either swing big on a corner or they're going to collect the picks and they're going to work cap casualties.
That's what I want.
Do you have a corner in mind? Do you have a corner that you want?
I mean, do you want my dream or like my more realistic?
What's your dream? What's your realistic? That's what we kind of, I wanted to close with anyways. As we get ready for Monday, what's your dream scenario? What's your
realistic? They'll never do it. They'll never spend the money on Jalen Watson, but I think Jalen Watson would be my dream. But I think more like a Kobe Durant would be the ideal. Like he'll be week two. He won't cost a lot. He fits a need, but that's not the Packers swinging for the fences.
I think you're on the right spot with the, I think if they swing big, it's a Watson or it's a Tariq Woolen. I think those are the two that make the most sense for what they run, for what they look after, all that stuff. If they're willing to burn one of the comp picks, I think it's for a guy like that. And then otherwise I think they're going to kind of shy away. I don't see them being in the Trey Hendrickson market or anything like that.
No, I agree. But yeah, I mean, Tariq Woolen would be great too.
Well, it's sort of a tough thing to sort of look at now. They're certainly not going to be in the big offensive line market. There's nobody like Rashid Walker is the biggest offensive line available, and they're not going to be in the Linderbaum now because they just re-signed Sean Ryan. So any big offensive lineman is out. There's
D-tackles. It's not a good class for D-tackles.
To resign. They're not going to be in the Devin Lloyd market now because they just went and got Zaire Franklin. The only thing that's left is corner. So it's sort of, to your point, Watson, Woolen, or, I mean, they could go a tier lower if they wanted to, but it's kind of that. I don't think they'd be in the Jamel Dean market. He's been injured and he's in the wrong age bracket for what they usually like, although maybe Zaire Franklin's changing things in Green Bay. But yeah, I think to me, this is probably, if it's a big signing, I think both realistically and logically and, you know, from a desire standpoint, it's probably one of those top two corners if they're going to get, you know, something big involved.
Yeah, I think that, or it's going to be the Kingsley and Igbari comp pick. That is a false comp pick because we're not going to be able to collect it. He's fifth in the pecking order and we can only collect four, right? I think it'll be something like that where you either get one of the nose tackles that we just talked about already or like a Cam Taylor Britt or something like that. And then it's like, that's it for the compensatory free agents. And then you're just working in the cap casualty market because they don't count against comp picks, or you're working trade market, you know, one way or another, right? I mean, you could chip off Reed for a nose tackle or something, or not Reed, but like Wicks for like a nose tackle or something. I could see the team doing that.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's realistic. And I think that's, again, sort of dream scenario would probably be a really good corner, but I don't know. I think it's going to probably be a quiet Monday for Green Bay, unless it's, again, sort of one of the, if it's Hargrave or Tomlinson or something like that.
Well, that might happen Wednesday. Hargrave hasn't been released yet.
Oh, gotcha.
Right. So like that's why I kind of think like Green Bay might be more active on Wednesday than they are on Monday, because Monday is the actual start of the new league year, which is when teams have to get their cap situation in order. And I think teams are going to hold on to like the Hargraves and stuff like that until then, because a lot of these guys that you're seeing are like released. Like, I don't think like Kyler's officially been released. I don't think that's been executed.
I think you're right.
A lot of that stuff is going to happen on Wednesday. And that's, I think the majority of the Packers spending is probably going to happen there.
I think that's probably fair. All right. Covered pretty much everything that I had on the list of things to cover. Perry, I'll start with you. Any other thoughts that you wanted to get to today? Anything you need to vent, get off your chest before the start of free agency?
No, I think we covered it, and I even got to throw out my ideal free agent signing that will never happen because the Packers never do that for me. I will say, fun fact, Devin Lloyd was my draft crush the year he was drafted. So if they had done that, I would have felt like somehow vindicated, but that's not going to happen now. Anyway, it was fun. It was fun to have football news back. That Max Crosby trade like really ignited something in me, or a signing rather, but like it really ignited something in me. Anyway.
Love that.
Here's Justin, a fun story. I was at a bar on what, that news broke Friday night?
Yeah. Friday night. Yeah.
I was at a bar. There's another local who goes there. He has the same Raider shield tattooed in the same part of his arm as Max Crosby. And he knew I was coming. As soon as I walked through the door, immediately just says, "Before you say anything, 2 first round picks." And I was like, "All right." Yeah. All right. He's very happy. Shape, man.
The Raiders did good. Raiders did good in that trade to get the pick 14 from the Raven, and then a future first. 2027 draft is supposed to be really, really good. I think they did well in that, and I think the Ravens were smart to see that the window is right now with Lamar Jackson and get back to playing a different brand of defense. Obviously, with a defensive-oriented coach now, maybe Lamar can't quite be the superhero, you know, to do everything to save that team. Build it from the defense first. Let Lamar have a little bit of magic when needed. I think that's a smart move for the Ravens as well.
And he's not a Bear.
Yeah.
He's not in the NFC. And not only that, he's not in the NFC at all.
Yeah. And he's just a good dude. Like, so easy to root for him.
Well, what else were you going to say, Justice?
I think that was it.
All right.
I think that's all I got. All I got is bar stories left.
We can stay another 30 minutes if you want to go.
No, I'm going to sign off, but
I do want to mention I am going to be doing the live Free Agent Frenzy show on the Packaday Podcast YouTube channel, 11 a.m. Central Time, right here again on YouTube. So if you want to check that out, I don't know how long I'm going to go for. I know I'm going to probably go at least a couple hours, but if things are hot and heavy, maybe we go longer. If things are a little bit more quiet, maybe we call it around 2 hours. But I have kind of 3-4 hours, opened to talk some free agency. So I've sent the bat signal out to pretty much some fun people on the Packers sphere. So we'll see if we get some guests as well. But keep an eye on that YouTube channel, 11 a.m. Central Time, Free Agent Frenzy on the Packaday YouTube channel. So Perry, what do you want to plug? Obviously the wonderful Packs, which he said, but what else would you like to plug on the way out?
That's all I got for you folks. Just Packs, which he said. We always take a little bit of a break after the Super Bowl, and now that football is back, we are back. So TBD on when we're recording next, but we are back. So
when Watson signs tomorrow, you can have that.
Oh, you will get an episode for sure. But just find us on YouTube. Packs, what she said.
All right, Justice.
Acme Packing Company. We're right in the storm. Whenever we get these actual contract numbers and stuff like that, we'll get those up too. So we'll have you guys covered for all the free agency stuff and any sort of trade rumors or anything like that start popping out. There's some interesting guys that could hit the market. Like, do you know Scott Matlock, Andy, or Perry too? The like 300-pound fullback for the Chargers. He was like a defensive tackle who plays fullback. The Chargers just signed a fullback, and Matlock looks like he's going to be out. Matlock was a Packers pre-draft visitor, and the Packers end up targeting those guys a lot.
Signing, so
we might have like a 300-pound fullback coming to Green Bay.
Possibly. Sign me up. You have an offensive tackle playing tight end. You've got a defensive tackle playing fullback. You're speaking my language. I'm all in.
A receiver playing corner, the whole nine.
Yeah. Cool. What more could you possibly want? You guys, I cannot thank you enough. This was awesome. I'm super excited about day one of free agency. Even if we don't get Packers news, it's always fun getting the dopamine hits every 5 minutes of a new signing, trade, release, etc. Should be a really fun day. Again, join me right here on the Packaday Podcast YouTube channel for it. Follow her at Perry underscore Goldstein, him at JUMOSQ. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.